You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Friday, Pacers fans. I hope you had a great 4th of July. Adam Friedman, my co-host, is over on the other line. As always, I am Tony East with the West Indianapolis Community News. And Adam, I am thrilled that it is July 5th and we already are pretty much done having to talk about free agency.
Yeah, it made for an easy 4th of July. There's really no basketball to worry about. I mean, most free agency is already done, it feels like, in general.
The Pacers free agency is completely done.
I mean, how many big names are left? There's like kind of what's going to happen with Marcus Smart is a big one.
Yeah.
Jabari.
Clint Capella is probably the best guy left.
It's all restricted guys now. Yeah. There's nothing, no really big name unrestricted guys left.
So Justin Jett, at DefPen and everywhere else, he tweeted out a list of his top 41 free agents. It's a pretty good list. There's still like double digits of those guys left, and there is no money left. So it's going to be a very interesting conclusion to Summer League.
Yeah, I wonder if all these restricted guys take qualifying offers or maybe they take – the problem with the team is you don't want to put your foot down and take huge advantage of the situation because then your player will be pissed at you, right? Let's look at the Rockets said, we're only going to pay you 10 – offer you 4 for 40, let's say, to Capella. And like that's way less than he's probably worth. He's probably worth 15 range. He's going to be pissed about that and not want to take it kind of thing. Right. And then you're kind of in this weird stalemate.
But I know. I don't know who's going to offer Capella the money. I hope someone figures it out.
Yeah, I mean this restricted stuff has gone into August – September 4, right? Didn't Thompson and Bledsoe, both their contracts go into late September sometimes?
Well, no, because their qualifying offer expires like early September, so they have to figure it out by then. But
yeah, so it goes into late August. Yep.
Yeah, but the Pacers won't have to worry about that till next year when the Miles Turner's restricted free agency starts. But today, we want to talk about Summer League. I actually think Summer League is really fun just because of the timing. You know, you're craving basketball after free agency. The finals are a month-ish away. In the past, you know, it's fun to finally have some basketball, even if it is kind of like a JV game.
Yeah, I don't care much Summer League except to see how the rookies are doing.
What? That makes me sad.
It has no impact on how a player turns out.
Oh, that's true.
I only like to see it to see if the second year guys have gotten bigger, basically. Like, there's rumors that Chidi has put on muscle. I think
a lot of muscle.
I think Ben Gibson at 8.9 seconds, your boss, has said that. So I want to see that. That's kind of what I should
roll.
What?
He is my boss in the same way that you're my boss, if that makes sense.
Okay, fine. Your co-editor at 8.9 seconds, whatever it is, Ben tweeted something out or posted a story that I read, and I was like, I'm interested in that. That interests me about Summer League, not the fact that they're playing basketball or whatever, because we've teased before, it's like the UCLA of the East.
The Pacers are 20-1 to win the Summer League title, Adam. That's very interesting.
And honestly, I couldn't tell if it was a good odds or bad odds. Like, I don't know. I don't know either.
I don't know either, but Leaf is a good starting point because with a lot of people in their second year, or if they were a first-round pick and it's their second year, you want to see them really dominating Summer League. And Leaf, and I also think Alex Poitras falls in this group because he has two NBA seasons. Those two guys, you really would like to see them dominate in these kind of events.
Yeah, and I think with Leaf, you want to see that he is physically empowering in a way he just completely wasn't last year.
Yes.
And we can give him a little break. He was 20 years old. He's younger than both of us. Both of us at 20 years old probably didn't have that much muscle. So clearly it takes a little while to put on the muscle, but he was just out there like almost like a JV guy playing with NBA players a couple of times. Like he just looked so much skinnier and slower. And a little bit of it was he just wasn't up to date on, you know, all there. I felt like with the playbook and understanding where to be at all the moments because he was just still learning. So that's part of that. But hopefully this year he takes that step of he can – react better in situations, and he can look bigger and look physically the part, at least out there.
Yeah, definitely. And like, I forget if it was last year or 2 years ago, the Nuggets put Gary Harris in Summer League, and he had like 34 points in their first game. And they're like, all right, you're done. You're too good for this. You know, I don't know if he'll get to that level of dominant, but I think that he, you know, given how good he was on offense, finishing at the rim and shooting threes last year, can easily take over the game on offense if the Pacers need him to. But yeah, I agree with you that I think the strength is going to be something to watch for on both ends, and especially defensively. You know, can he hand check his guy? Can he stay in front of him? Does he look like he has any semblance of post defense? Like if he gets bumped, is he screwed? Things like that are going to be very important to watch with him.
Yeah, and remember, TJ Leaf in his like three games in the G League dominated. I mean, he put up 23 and 8, and that's dominant in the G League. He shot 54% from three in those games too. So, you know, I think we have the tendency to be more down on him just because he literally didn't play last year and made no actual impact on the team. But you have to remember he's a rookie, and a lot of rookies don't make impact, especially ones who are picked so late in the first round.
Yep.
But it was a deep draft class. He had a pretty high projection on him that he could be like some unique offensive player because he has, you know, his college tape showed that he had really good touch around the rim and inside 5 feet, and he could shoot threes at a really high rate. So maybe this is kind of the idea he puts it a little bit together and kind of shows some progress that, hey, I can be a, you know, even as a rotation player in this league.
Yeah, I think you will. I think you really will. I expect him to, honestly, given the lineup surrounding him. I think they have some creators. We'll get to those guys later. But the other guy, like we just said, I expect to dominate with Pacers ties is Poitras. Just finished his first full season in the NBA. He had a year before that where he played and started a game for the Sixers. You know, he's 24. He's got 2 years of NBA experience. He's shown that he can do some stuff in the league. I think he's going to look really good on both ends of the floor.
Yeah, this will be a big moment for him because if he stinks, he might get cut.
Yeah, yeah. His contract guarantees after summer league on the 25th. So they have the full summer league to observe him and see how he does. And if he looks bad, that is not good for his NBA future.
Yeah, but also if he looks really good, he might pick it up. You know, you were saying they might just push that date, ask him to
back, yeah,
push it to like, because they want an open roster spot theoretically, right? Yeah. They have 12.
Theoretically.
They have 13 guys that came on the roster right now.
Yep. Correct.
So they want out. You theoretically want an open roster spot. So maybe you push that guarantee into after training camp.
Yeah, something like that. I like that idea. And I think that is something he'll be receptive to. We should also note that Ike Anibogu, who I'm sure they would love to have playing in this, is hurt again and is rehabbing. And his guarantee dates after this. So I think it would have been the same for him, but almost half of his contract's guaranteed anyway. So I think we're safe to say, A, that he's going to get it picked up, and B, I think he would have made the team even if he did play in this. So I don't think it matters.
Yeah, I think just being, like you said, it's basically a $650,000 flyer on him, which is a lot of money to you and me, but to the NBA, it's pennies. I mean, that's not even
1% less than a minimum. Less than a minimum contract.
And it's half a percent of the salary cap, basically.
Yeah, exactly. But I think we're in agreement on those two guys being the guys who will do the best. And then if you look, too, they have C.J. Wilcox, who has 3 years of NBA experience on the roster. He played for the Magic in 2016-17 before getting cut. Didn't play a lot, but he played for the team. I think he has like 400 total NBA minutes. That's not terrible. And the other guy has 4 years of NBA experience. I can't even believe he's on a summer league roster. It kind of seems weird. It's Henry Sims, who, according to B-Ball Rep, is an inactive NBA player because he played overseas last year. He's 28, but he played for the Hornets, the Cavs, the Sixers, and the Nets in his career. He has like 2,500 minutes in his career, so he has quite a bit of NBA experience. I think he's going to do really well, too, although he is not starting.
Yeah, you're sort of beating around the bush here with the guy we should be talking about, right? Kind of going in circles. We talked about, you know, Leaf.
I'm avoiding.
And then you're sort of drifting. Well, first, you should say the starters who are going to be.
Okay, go ahead.
I'll do it. Mark Monteith tweeted this out on July 4th. Happy 4th of July. I guess he's enjoying his 4th of July. So they're going to start Ben Moore, Alex Poitras, TJ Leaf, Edmund Sumner, and their first round pick, Aaron Holiday.
Well, I wasn't going to talk about Holiday because I don't think he's going to be amazing in summer league. I mean, he should be well, but not amazing. I think he'll be worse than Sumner.
I think there actually is a good chance chemistry-wise because he's played with Leaf before. There could be something there.
That's true. I did not think about that. That is true.
I mean, if they had EK too, it would be the same situation where they'd have them put Alford, and then they got like four guys who were on the same – well, Alford was a year before them, so maybe not. But I think there's some chance that Leaf and Holiday they play together. They know each other's strengths maybe a little bit. Holiday is – played two or three years of college, so he's more developed than most of the summer league players. So I think there's a good chance he's maybe not like fantastic, but he's decent and looks pretty good.
Yeah, maybe. I think there's a chance. I'm not sure how much chemistry he has with those guys. That whole season, Lonzo Ball played like, 36 minutes a game or something.
But didn't Holiday end up playing like 25? I mean, I know he backed him, but he was the sixth man. He was like the first guy off the bench every single time.
Yeah, he probably has some semblance with him. And I'm sure they'll go well. I think he'll be good. I think he deserves to start. But, you can never get your expectations too high on these summer league guys. Or you're into it too much with point guards, you know. 2 years ago now? Man. Chris Dunn, remember he was like absolutely insane in summer league and then was just terrible his rookie year.
Yeah, I remember. So just so you know, Holiday played 27 minutes a game his sophomore year with Leaf. So he
that would be the junior year we want to see. What's that number?
No, sophomore. You want sophomore year.
He played four.
No, he played 3 years at college.
Ah, redshirted. Ah, busted.
Redshirted.
Busted. Okay, yes, you're right.
So his second year, sophomore year, whatever it was, he played 27 minutes. Yep.
Okay, good. That's good.
Yeah.
Right in.
No, but you are right in saying that it. We hit earlier. It doesn't matter if dominate the summer league. It doesn't actually matter.
No. It doesn't matter for rookies to dominate summer league.
But I mean, who? Right? You said Chris Dill was the most dominant player 2 years ago. Who was the most dominant player last summer league? Do you even know?
I don't remember who the MVP was. It was someone that was good though.
All right, I'm gonna start reading summer league MVP once I find them.
There are some bad ones and some excellent ones. It doesn't mean anything, but I remember it was someone good last year.
But Ball was the MVP last year.
Yeah. That's right.
And Lonzo had an okay year. I mean, I don't know.
He did pretty good. On that. Anyway,
I guess there's your Dame Lillard was it 1 year? Jonas Valanciunas was another year. I mean,
yeah, it doesn't mean a ton. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is for rookies, it's different than for sophomores and Poitras' case juniors. Like those guys have played against NBA guys, they should look better than rookies.
Yes, they should because they should be more developed. And I'm saying with Holiday, the thing is he's a rookie, but he played so many years of college that he's not going to be athletically as small as some of the.
Yeah, I don't believe in that stuff.
See, I
don't believe in NBA ready and stuff.
No, I don't think he's NBA ready. I just think there's a huge jump between being 19 years old and 21 years old in terms of just how big you are and how developed you are and how you can impose yourself in an NBA game versus
when
19 is hard. I think Donovan Mitchell is a great example of that. A guy who, because he played in college for 2 years, was significantly bigger than he would have been in his freshman year and was able to dominate immediately. I know he's an outlier too, partially because he's so great, but I mean, it's a reason that like Ball and Aaron and De'Aaron Fox, who were sort of looked at as like, oh, man, they're not as good as Mitchell, they could be. They're like 2 years behind Mitchell, so you have to give them that kind of catch-up ability.
Exactly. That's why it's cool to draft those guys. So yeah, Sumner will be interesting to watch too because he basically missed an entire season playing the last 2 minutes of their regular season last year. He was like a crazy athlete at Xavier. His like pinned a tweet on Twitter is him dunking and his head's above the rim and he's only like 6 feet tall. So I'm going to be interested. Oh, actually, he's pretty tall. He's like 6'4".
Injury.
He had a torn something in his knee. Remember, he missed the entire season.
Yeah, I just remember what was an ACL tear or something like that.
I don't remember, but I am interested to see how he does. I think they believe in him. They gave him a 2-year, 2-way deal, so we'll see how he goes. He's going to be on the team for sure next year anyway, so that's why, especially, he's worth watching.
Yeah, he tore his ACL. So, just so you know, on his Twitter profile, his Pacer photo is him way below the rim, and then his Xavier picture is pinned with him way above the rim.
It's so funny that his
pre-imposed ACL.
It's so funny to me that his profile picture and his cover photo are both him shooting the layup on his only NBA basket.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a big moment for a
guy
making
an NBA. That's so awesome. Yeah, he loves it.
This is the guy you were pretty big on. You thought he'd like get healthy, right?
I do like him.
So, I mean, maybe. I mean, the thing is, he's now, the fifth guard on this team?
Yeah, it's perfect for a two-way guy, right? He's there for injuries, basically.
Yeah, he won't – if injuries, but he's the sixth guard then, right? If you do – now with Evans, he's Holiday's a fifth guard, and then make
some. So you know who I think is going to be really good in summer league? The last starter, Ben Moore.
Yeah, he played a lot of minutes last year. Actually, I mean, relatively speaking,
he did. We talked about his G League stats before. I don't know how many people actually listened to that episode where we were talking about Ben Moore's G League stats. But he was like,
I don't even know if I remember that episode. I was even there.
Well, I was just talking out my ass about some of his crazy metrics in the G League. You know, Leaf dominated by scoring a lot, which is great. You know, that's exactly what we want to see from him. Ben Moore had a 64 true shooting percentage in the G League. I averaged 12 points, 7 rebounds, and 2 assists a game. Was incredible on defense. And I just think he's going to be awesome in the summer league just because he was so good in the G League. And those high motor guys tend to do well in the summer league environment.
Yeah, and he didn't really make a meaningful impact on the team.
Not he played 9 minutes.
Ready? Played 9 minutes. He was the guy we were like last guy on our list of player profiles. But I don't know. You said I remember you were talking about. I do actually remember the podcast now. You were sort of when he came. I think they called him up for a game. You were pretty hyped because you thought not hyped, but you were hyping him up because he had such a good G League. But
yes,
can we talk? I think Leaf's the best player though. It's gonna be. The best
I do too. I think Leaf's the best player too.
So
so there's another important distinction to summer league. I don't know how much this impacts most of the starters. 4 of them probably are NBA players, and Ben Moore is like a maybe, so 4.5. But for everyone else on the team, you have to think in a different mindset because for them, this is like an NBA tryout, right? So they are not going to show how good they are like setting screens. They're going to be trying to grab rebounds, get steals, score points, like look really good. So they play a little differently than their normal play style because they're trying to prove that they belong.
And nobody plays defense in summer league.
Nobody plays defense in summer league.
It's like watching pickup basketball.
It is. And yeah, it's fascinating. And you have to remember that like I bet Bryce Alford looks really good because he's a pretty good shooter off the dribble. And with the lack of defense, he might look like amazing out there. But just remember like who he is. He'd have to score like an obscene amount for me to believe that he's that good on an NBA court.
Yeah, and then there's some players who just don't take it seriously at all because they're in Vegas or at zone. Yes. There's some of that. So, you know what I mean? Like, I Pacers blog was talking about Solomon Hill kind of blew off his summer league in his third year. And that sort of was the reason he didn't get his option picked up, which worked out for him. But that's some of the veteran players will do that. They think they're like going to be on roster anyways. So they'll just blow off summer league.
Yeah, and that's not something you don't want to see at all. I don't think you have to worry about that with too many guys. I think you might have to worry about it for the guys I said earlier, like Wilcox and Sims being like, I'm too good for this. And Pacers Summer League returnee Travis Leslie is back again. If you'll remember him from last summer. But he's never played an NBA game, so he might try. Something else to watch, which, first of all, he's listed in two different websites when I looked at the Pacers roster for Summer League as a small forward, Alize Johnson. But he's going to be fascinating to watch their second-round pick and see what he can do.
Really? Yeah, let's have a small forward on a real GM.
Yeah, that's what I looked at, too, at first. Small forward at 6'9". I mean, I feel like he has more center skills than small forward skills. But regardless. Yeah,
I feel like he's more a Thad Young power forward small forward than a traditional small forward.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I think he's going to be fascinating to watch. You know, if you've probably heard the story by now, but if you haven't, he grew like a foot in high school, and he had a lot of guard skills. So shooting form's kind of funky because he grew into it. Didn't get good grades, so he went to JUCO. Like he hasn't really been coached by good basketball coaches ever. So he's for the talent he has, it's pretty much all self-taught, which is fascinating. So seeing how he does on like with NBA coaching and with NBA players around, it's gonna be fascinating.
Right. So on the roster, EK's the 11th man, Johnson's the 12th man, and Poyser's is the 13th guy, right?
Alize, I don't know if he'll actually be on the roster.
No, but if we're doing it right now, he's the 12th guy who'll be on the roster theoretically. Oh,
yeah. Yes.
Okay. So this summer league is really, does Alize make the team or does Poyser make the team? That's kind of what I'm thinking.
That's possible. But
the thing ultimately is they have a roster spot open.
They have a two-way slot opened. And,
oh, yeah, you're right.
But two ways work in that anyone with less than 3 years of experience can get it. So I think Poitras can get it, but it's almost a slap to the face to cut him and then give him a two-way. So I think that's probably if Alize looks even okay. If Alize looks good, I bet they'd cut Poitras and sign him. But if he just looks okay, I bet they just give him the two-way.
Yeah, they did with Sumner the same thing, right?
Yeah, they did that.
Sumner second round last year and just made a two-way deal.
And they gave Sumner a two-year because of his injury, and they really believed in him for another year, which is interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder if Alize gets the same deal.
I'll be curious. I think he deserves a two-way, though. Like, just because of the way his story kind of goes, I think that there's enough promise there that you want to give him some NBA experience if you can.
I also think you don't draft a guy just to cut him. I mean, unless you like made a mistake. You draft him because you're going to give him something. Maybe it's not a full contract, but at least a two-way at the minimum, especially with the way the league's rule. I bet he gets a two-way at minimum.
Yeah. And there's a chance, again, because of the NBA coaching, I think there's a chance he looks awesome, which is why he'll be fascinating to watch.
Yeah, and if the Pacers like Poyser enough, they can make Al to the two-way, make Poyser the 12th guy on the roster, and they have a roster spot open.
Still. Yeah, they have two, in theory, open roster spots, so it's not out of the question they both make the team. The guys we have not said yet, Tre'Davious Hollins. Why do I feel like he went to Ohio State? That's probably wrong. But he
Nope, at Omaha.
No, he played in the G League. Oh, that is right. You're right. Thank you for that. Isn't that a G League team, though? Isn't that what that's trying to say? Am I wrong about that?
Said he went to high school at Omaha Central High School. Must have not.
I don't know why Ohio State came to mind, but that's wrong. Anyway, Tre'Davious Hollins will be the fourth point guard, probably behind Sumner, Holiday, and Bryce Alford. Keep going down the list. We said Travis Leslie. And Levi Randolph, shooting guard from Alabama. 2015 draft, so he's older. He's 25, and he's never played in the NBA, so I guess it's cool they're giving him a shot to see what he can do. And then Elijah Stewart from USC didn't go drafted this year, but he was one of their best scorers in the absence of DeAnthony Melton. And I kind of like these 2018 undrafted guys. You know, maybe someone that just slipped through the cracks in the draft could prove something.
Yeah, I
doubt it, but you never. I don't know, probably not. And he probably won't play a ton. You know, I think it's safe to say what guys are going to play and what guys are not going to play, but you never know.
Yeah, you guys touch on the margins. They'll play maybe a little bit, but I doubt they'll be anywhere. I mean, I imagine, like we said, it's going to come down to the starting five plus Johnson. When it really matters.
Those are the guys that matter. Yeah, for sure.
Everybody else is just sort of here to maybe, you know, Alfred's kind of there because he's an Alfred.
And the UCLA stuff, Indiana.
Well, and because his dad's from Indiana and there's, there's just connections.
Travis Leslie has a connection from last summer.
A lot of this G League I've listened to is connections or agents and connecting with Pritchard, like kind of like favors almost. Where like, oh yeah, we'll give him a spot on the chance of summer league just to see what he is, kind of thing. I don't know if they. I think besides, you know, the guys he drafted and kind of the guys they've had in their G League team, there's nothing that really like they don't really matter at the end of the day.
Well, that's what makes Henry Sims so interesting to me because he's been in the NBA for 4 years. He's like 28. The Pacers, in theory, need a center, but I really don't think they're looking at him. His agent is the guy, Mark Tamiri, who's in Clutch. So Clutch is like a pretty big agency. So I'm like 95% sure they brought him in for summer league because he's in Clutch.
I mean, that's the game, Tony.
It's part of the game. It is. Levi Randolph also in Clutch.
So I'm just – that's part of the game is agents getting favors from GMs that because they threw a guy this way or they made, I don't know, some kind of deal this way. That's half the game in the NBA.
Like Henry Sims doesn't stink. Like he's probably not an NBA player anymore just because of the way – I don't know if he got hurt or something, but he's been out of the league for 2 years. But he's, like, not terrible. He's played 2,500 NBA minutes. It's pretty sizable.
Yeah, but he's got to happen to him for not to play for 2 years.
He got that $1 million contract. I'm with you. I agree. I think there's a reason. But it is what it is. CJ Wilcox was a first-round pick 3 years ago, you know? Like, those kind of things are just – I mean, there's something to watch. I doubt it matters, but you never know.
Was Wilcox – no, he didn't go anywhere else, right? He played for actually played for the Clippers the last couple of years.
No, he was out of the league last year. He played for the
Magic. No, I mean back in 14.
Oh, at first. Yeah, he got drafted by the – yes, he got drafted by them.
So he's somebody who's probably fallen out of the league and sort of looking for the last chance.
Yeah, he fell out of the league last year. Fell off Orlando. Pacers love picking up those Orlando dudes.
Okay. All right, Tony, calm down. He's no control.
I know I'm messing around. But he'll probably be like a sixth man or something. We'll see. I don't know what the rotation's going to be, honestly, but –
yeah, I mean, it's the top five, and Johnson is a six man. I don't know what else there is.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, you can't overanalyze it. Is what I'm trying to say. You just can't overanalyze it. Like
I think you can. I can't wait to do it anyway.
It's three games, which you probably you say the three games they play.
Oh no, we should do the schedule. That's a big.
So one. They play Houston on July 6th, listening which is to this, tonight. Listening on Friday.
They play at noon.
Oh, so
if you're listening now, they might already have played.
No, they play at 3 p.m. Eastern time, noon Pacific time.
Oh, yes. Sorry.
And we're all in Eastern time. Both of you listen to podcast.
We wrote it looking at the Vegas time sheet.
Well, you wrote it. I'm looking at it right now. It says 3 p.m.
I'm reading what Ben wrote. They play at 3:30 on the 7th on Saturday on ESPN2 also, which is cool, against the Spurs. And they have the Cavs on July 9th at 5, also on ESPN2. So that'll be fun. And then the playoffs start on the 11th.
Yeah, and maybe I'll probably tune into the games just to see.
I'm going to watch all of them and then come on the podcast and talk for 30 minutes about nothing.
All right. I mean, I Friday got work maybe. So I really want to see a Leaf. I really want to see a Leaf.
Me too.
Just want to see how big he is. I like to see Holiday just to see. I've been watching highlights of Holiday, nothing else besides that. So I can see him in live action.
Yeah, it'll be good to see those guys. And also coming up in the future besides Summer League, hopefully we have a guest from Grizzly Land come on to talk about Tyreek so you can learn more about him in the same way that Nick taught you about Doug McDermott.
Yeah, and we're gonna do a mailbag podcast.
We are going to do a mailbag. We got three questions today from –
I almost responded to one on – I did respond to one on Twitter and realized it a minute later and deleted it.
Deleted the tweet. I saw that. I looked for it.
Because I was like, oh, wait, we said mailbag in our last – like I spaced it. I'm like, why am I getting like nine questions on Twitter? I'm like, oh, that's right. So keep sending questions. Sorry if I responded to your tweet and deleted it right away. You'll get the answer on the podcast in the future. So it's a nice little
tease. Given that all the games are by Monday, we'll probably do the mailbag Wednesday or Friday next week, depending on how they do in the playoffs. But do you have anything else for this episode?
I just want to say that the Woj Pod took our Lance theory.
The Woj Pod did take our Lance theory.
Or more importantly, I think your news site aggregated Woj's Lance theory that we had first that I think maybe you should have hopped on that.
I think Woj is more of an aggregatable source than we are.
I'm just saying we did have – I said it – I said to you first on Monday.
You did. You totally did.
I mean, I'm sure Woj had that thought probably the minute he signed, but I'm just saying – and right? Let's just say I give it 10% chance he ends up back. Lance ends up back with the Pacers.
We probably should say what this thought is.
Yeah, sorry. So what it was is we had this thought – I had this thought on Monday. Like, what are the odds Lance is back on the Pacers come January, February time? And Tony laughed at it, and I laughed at it. It was kind of a joke, but like – then Woj said that's like the Lakers' backup plan. Basically, if Lance stinks, they'll just send back to the Pacers. And I said, I give it like a 10% chance he's back. In
January. I can read the exact quote from Woj. It says, oh, geez, an ad popped up and it dropped. It says, Lance has not played well anywhere but Indiana. He has been such a fish out of water everywhere he's gone. Charlotte, they were trying to trade him back to Indiana like 3 weeks in. You know how it ends. Like in November, December, they're going to be calling the Pacers to take him back. So, something to look out for.
Yeah, maybe they throw a second round pick in with Lance to get him back.
That would be interesting.
I give it a 10% chance. What do you give it before we go?
About that. I agree.
Okay. That's what I think. I mean, I don't think it's highly likely, but it's likely.
He doesn't, he won't. I feel like given the rest of their roster, he's not going to have a chance to play enough to be bad.
Yeah, and I think he's
is the problem too. Yeah, I guess.
He really got the locker room last year.
Playing with LeBron makes everybody different. So we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. He whips you into shape real fast.
Yeah, that's all I got though.
Yeah, that's all I got too.
Oh, Trey McKinney Jones just played for Team USA. That was pretty cool. He was on the Summer League team last year. That's all I got.
Also now a G League guy, right?
Yeah, he played for the Mad Ants, got that 1 minute with the Pacers, right. And he was on the World Cup qualifying team.
Nice.
Scored 10 points against Cuba. That's pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm out. I'm out of stuff.
I'm out of stuff, too. We got through the free agent signing so fast, we're in slow stuff mode. I think our next free agents news we might do on this podcast is where does Trevor Booker sign?
Okay, or what the room is actually, who they use the room exception or, on if they do.
Well, you know what's funny? I was actually talking to someone on Twitter about this. I'm not sure they're going to use it.
I don't think they are either. I think they're gonna try to sign under the cap somehow, figure out a way to get it back.
I think they're gonna sign Al, and then they're gonna probably sign like a Damian Wilkins level non guaranteed guy with the last slot, and then.
So, can I say my real theory is they cut EK,
wow,
or no, wait. They cut Porter's contract too. They get under the cap, right?
They're already under the cap, yeah.
No, but they get more enough under the cap where they can stay under the cap for the season.
I don't know why they'd want to do that, but yeah.
Because you can get luxury tax money, Tony. This is a big deal to teams.
But it's a percentage of how much under you are, so they'd get like $100.
I thought it was just if every team under splits it evenly.
No.
Oh. Are you sure?
Yes.
I am. 100% sure positive?
I am positive, yes.
All right, fine.
That's why teams stay under the salary floor, even though there's a salary floor. So they get a big chunk of that lux tax.
Well, because last year, I'm sure they got a big chunk this year. They were about
a million under. They're $117,000 right now.
Okay, well, never mind then. I just thought they might try to stay under just a little bit.
I guess. Maybe they will. Cutting Poitras would give them an entire minimum slot. So who knows?
They're going to get a lot of luxury tax money, though, if they stay under. I mean, there's going to be a lot between the Thunder and the Warriors.
Yeah, we'll see. That is a good closing depressing thought, is will the Pacers try to earn luxury tax money this
season? Doesn't matter. They have 9 rotation players. They did their job, if they even stay under the cap. They did
do their job. Thanks for tuning in, guys. We'll be back Monday to talk about these summer league games and any signings that may happen. Would we do an emergency pod if they sign somebody at the room exception? Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
But I got nothing else. So thank you guys for tuning in. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you soon.